Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
We've been looking the past several weeks in regard to a series of lessons on the glorious church. And last week, if you will recall, we studied out of the book of Acts chapter 2 concerning the powerful presentation of the church. And in that lesson, we brought forth that the Lord's church started in a very powerful way by the power of the Holy Spirit. That the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles as what had been promised and prophesied. And that these men were able to proclaim God's message with completeness and accuracy in all details unto the people standing there at Pentecost that day. In the lesson that was presented as what we have given by Peter, good people, we have presented there a very powerful lesson concerning the Christ, how that He had lived upon the face of the earth, but yet had been rejected by mankind. And as a result of that rejection, that they had nailed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to a cruel cross of Calvary. And good people, as a result of that, Peter called upon these individuals to understand that they had sinned against our God in doing so. According to what is found in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, and the Scripture says, "And they became pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Having an understanding that they had sinned against God and that this sin had separated them from the very presence of our God, they now wanted to know what it was that God required of them in order for them to receive the forgiveness of sins and hence have a relationship with Him once again. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent, turn away from your sins, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Good people, that day there was indeed a very powerful response to the message. About 3,000 souls were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And from that time, good people, we need to understand that following Pentecost, it was a very great day. And there was great enthusiasm and zeal amongst the church. Why was there great zeal amongst the church that day? Good people, because the Lord's church was established at Pentecost. Prior to that, these individuals knew the law. Concerning the law, good people, it was given at Mount Sinai by Moses, and it was instructions to the children of Israel. And we understand also in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 4 and following, that the law was to be taught. The law was to be taught and to be understood by the fathers and to the children of the household. And not only was this law to be taught and to be understood, but in like figure, this law given by our God was to be obeyed on a continual basis amongst all of these people. We learn in the New Testament that there was a purpose for the law, that the law within itself was not a means unto salvation, but rather it was pointing unto the way of salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law was to identify sin, as well as the enormity of sin, how God viewed sin, and how that sin separated mankind from the very presence of God, not only in this life, but in the life to come, unless sin is dealt with. According to what is identified in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, the law served as a tutor, as a schoolmaster, to lead individuals to the Christ. Good people, we learn in regard to the law, though, is that whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, according to the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, the law was nailed to the cross. The law was taken away. And as a result of that, these individuals had this message proclaimed beginning at Pentecost that they were no longer subject to the law of Moses, but now they were citizens of the kingdom of God, having received the forgiveness of sins in Christ. And now they were subject to a new law, a better covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm reminded of this and the feelings that must have been present there at Pentecost is what the Apostle Paul states there in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps free adventure for a good man. Some would even dare to die, but our God, He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." These people were ungodly. And at Pentecost, they came to realize, they came to internalize in a very personal way exactly how ungodly they were and how that God had viewed them and that sin had separated them, distanced them from God. And now, according to what we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, whenever these people obeyed Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of sin, good people, they now had that sin taken away. And they were enthused. They were so zealous for God. They wanted so much to love and to serve the God and the Creator of this world and to serve under the Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a result of that, we learn that the church first turned inward. After Pentecost, they turned inward. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly. There were things that they understood that they needed to understand, and then in like figure now they needed to stand in. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. As the apostles taught and proclaimed the message more accurately concerning the way of our God, these people had their ears, their hearts open to an understanding concerning the facts about our God, the doctrine of Christ. And as a result of this, they not only wanted to hear these things, but good people, they wanted to continue to stand firm in the doctrine that had been proclaimed unto them and had given them freedom, a freedom that they had never been able to enjoy prior to this. Not only did they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, but they continued steadfastly in fellowship. They realized that whenever they had obeyed Christ in baptism, now they had a vertical fellowship with God, a relationship with God. And they wanted to continue to have and to maintain that relationship with Jehovah God. And for that reason, that's why they continued in this doctrine. But in like figure, they also understood that they had a horizontal fellowship with one another. Because they had a relationship with God, now they had a relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And these people continued in that. But also we understand is that they continued steadfastly in the partaking of the breaking of the bread. In the context, good people, I believe that that's speaking about the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day, every first day of the week. These saints understood the importance of coming together to worship and to praise God according to Spirit and in truth as Jesus had taught in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But in like figure, they understood that they had an obligation as well as an opportunity to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the partaking of the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day as Jesus had established and had been taught to them in the apostles' doctrine. And the Bible also tells us that these people continued steadfastly in prayer, praying that God would help them and that God would direct them and that God would protect and provide for them on a continual basis. We also understand is that they met daily from house to house. Good people, they were unified. They did not have division among them. They did not have any ill words to say from amongst them. They did not have any dividing of doctrine among them, but rather these people were unified in a perfect unity at that given time. We also understand that they were a very compassionate people. The Bible tells us that they sold their possessions and goods and divided them as each one had need. At Pentecost, there was an influx of people who came for this great feast. And who were there that day and had responded to the gospel. And rather than going back to their homeland, which was customary after Pentecost, these people had remained. And for that reason, they were in want. And their brothers and sisters, those in like figure who had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, who also had a relationship with our God, they looked out to the needs of the people and they realized that there were needs there. And for that reason, they sold their possessions and all the goods that they could get their hands on that was essential to get rid of. And they divided them as each one had needs. They loved, cared, and shared with each other. And good people, we also understand that they were very devoted at the time. In verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were devoted to God in such a way that they knew that they wanted to know more. They knew that they wanted to serve in greater ways. They realized that they needed to connect with God on a continual basis to worship and to bow themselves down before Jehovah God, the Creator of the world, but more specifically and attuned to their needs at that time, the One who had forgiven them in the blood of the death of His Son. And we also understand in verse 47, and they were praising God. They were constantly praising God, thanking God for the graciousness that He had shown upon them in giving them the forgiveness of sin. And good people, not only did they praise God, were they right with God in the favor of God. But the Bible also tells us that they had favor with all people. As a result of all this, the church grew. As a result of their turning inward. I believe first off, they grew spiritually amongst themselves. These people were edifying each other. They were receiving instruction and gaining an understanding concerning our God, His will, and the way that He has prescribed for man, commands mankind to go. But not only did they grow in a spiritual sense, in like figure they grew numerically. In verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How were they being saved? The people, not only were they teaching themselves, not only were they growing within, but in like figure I believe that they were telling others round about them, their family and friends. And these people then came to an understanding concerning how the sin had separated them and how the salvation is only brought forth in Christ. And these people then were doing the same thing that they had done at Pentecost. They were being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Having turned inward, good people, they did not stop there. They then launched outward. They began to launch outward first and foremost there at Jerusalem. They launched out in Jerusalem, those individuals who were there, to the Jews first, trying to get these individuals to understand that salvation is brought forth in Jesus and not according to the law of Moses. That the law of Moses had run its course and that the law of Moses had been fulfilled, and now that it had been taken away, and now that salvation is only brought forth in Jesus Christ, He is the fulfillment of the law. And good people, that message was not received very well amongst the Jews, more particularly amongst the Sanhedrins. We come to an understanding that these individuals met opposition on a continual basis. The Sanhedrin Council tried Peter and John, and likely even others, who were standing for the cause of Christ. And it's interesting too, whenever we think in regard to the context of all that's stated here in the book of Acts chapter 7, we understand concerning these individuals that these people were standing for God no matter what. They were not going to let things get in the way. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than man. Good people, they did not allow those who were trying to oppose them to get in their way of doing what God wanted them to go. And as a result then of their continued stand for our God, they also faced death. Stephen, a righteous man, a proclaimer of the message of God, he was proclaiming how the law of Moses had run its course, and now that it had been taken away, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ, and the people were angry with him and hated him because of the message, and the people, they stoned him to death. But what happened? As a result of that, the church didn't stop there. The church marched onward. The church went everywhere preaching and teaching the Word. They went into Judea and Samaria, and they talked concerning Christ. They talked concerning the kingdom. And good people, they didn't even stop at Judea and Samaria. We learn concerning the work of the Apostle Paul that he led 3 missionary journeys and at least 1 journey to Rome. And in this, these people were going everywhere with the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the point, as is found in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, that they were turning the world upside down. Well, what does that mean? The people were amazed by what these people were teaching them and how that is stood in contrast to their life and to the schools of thought that they had bought into even up to this point in time. And they're going everywhere preaching the Word. We learn in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 23 that by the time in which this letter is penned to the saints of Colossae, that every creature under heaven had heard the gospel. Our God, as a result of that, gave the increase. People were being baptized right and left, as we stated today. People were becoming New Testament Christians. People were having their sins washed away in the blood of Christ, obeying Christ in baptism. And it didn't even stop there. As people were being baptized, good people, we understand that congregations were being established all over the Middle Eastern area. And even still today, the Lord's church continues to grow and to abound. the Lord's church at Pentecost was filled with much enthusiasm and zeal because they had their forgiveness of sin. And they turned inward first and foremost to edify, to instruct, and to make certain that each one was growing spiritually. And then they launched outward, and launching outward, good people, they continued to stand where God wanted them to stand. They continued to do what God wanted them to do in regard to reaching the message, or reaching people with the message of the saving grace of Christ. And as a result of that, God continued to give an increase. How can you and I be successful in the Lord's church today in 2011? You and I need to appreciate so much the salvation that we have in Christ. You and I have been forgiven of our sin. Like those individuals in the first century, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 states, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If anyone says that he has not sinned, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him." Good people, what is sin? According to what we find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, sin is the transgression of God's law. Has God spoken to mankind today? Yes, He most certainly has. And having spoken to mankind today, He has given us His inspired Word, meaning that God has literally revealed His will to mankind. And in revealing His will to mankind, He's given unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. According to what we find in Jude 3, it is His complete message to man. And it is our responsibility to understand His message, but not only to understand it, then in like figure to obey the commandments that He lays down for us. And in obeying those commandments, good people, God assures us that we receive the forgiveness of sin. You and I are no longer bound by sin. You and I no longer face the guilt and the consequences of sin. And for that reason, God wants us to love and to appreciate all that we receive in Christ. And whatever we do, we will be as enthused as those were there at Pentecost. Amen? We should be. We ought to walk around with a smile on our face. We ought to walk around with a feeling of joy, hope, and anticipation of the return of Christ. Not as the world walks around with no hope. Not as the denominational world walks around lost in a world of confusion. But rather, good people, in an understanding that we are truly the children of God. And as a result of that, then, we need to appreciate the salvation that our God gives us. And in appreciating the salvation that we have in Christ, then in like figure, then we need to practice brotherly love as what they did. Somebody says, "Kevin, wait a second, are you saying that we need to sell our possessions and our goods and divide them as each one had need?" But brethren, if that's what it came down to, yes, that's what I'm saying. But interesting as it is, we live in a world today where, here in the United States especially, that it doesn't necessarily mean that we sell all the goods that we have and divide them as each one have needs. But sometimes it may require that. What it means is that we are there for one another. We love the brotherhood. We love those who are in a relationship with God as what we are in a relationship with God. And we understand that God has supplied everything that we need in life. James chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is a gift from above." God is the giver of all of these things, everything that we have. And therefore, having supplied all of these things to us, we are to be good stewards. What is a steward? Good people, we are to watch over the things that God has given unto us. Are they there for our usage? Yes, they are. But in like figure, they are there not only for our usage, not only for our good and the enjoyment of life, but in like figure, for others who might have needs. As we have been blessed, we must make certain that we do not shut up our bowels of compassion towards others, but rather to make certain that we are reaching first and foremost our brethren. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints of Galatia, said, "As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith." And brethren, you and I need to continue, and note the way that I state that. I think as a congregation, we are doing, you are doing a great job in letting our brothers and sisters know here at East End, but not only here at East End, here in our community, and it doesn't even stop here in our community, universally, to know how much we love and appreciate them. constantly giving of food, of clothing, of our means in a monetary way to make certain that needs are met. And on top of all that, that the gospel is indeed proclaimed. And if you and I are going to be able to be successful in the Lord's work here at East End in McMinnville, Tennessee, we need to continue to make certain that we practice brotherly love. And in so doing, the world will see our good works towards one another and glorify our Father that is in heaven. And then in like figure, if we're going to continue to be successful, we need to, on a continual basis, reach out to the lost and dying world that is about us. Reaching out how? Each and every one of us have blessings and opportunities presented before us every single day of our life. Every single one of us are included in the Lord's command and commission there in the book of Matthew chapter 28. As Jesus appeared back into the apostles of Galilee, in verse 18 He said, "All power and authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." In verse 19 He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world or the end of the age." You and I have an obligation to always be mindful of those individuals who do not have a relationship with God. These individuals in the first century, after the church began, we understand in the very onset when they turned inward, they were also looking outward. Why do I state that? In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." But not only whenever they were looking inward and growing spiritually, we also understand, as has been taught and explained in Acts chapter 2 and following, is that they launched outward in the proclamation of the good news of Christ. Good people, you and I need to continue to get the word out. And we're doing that in multiple ways. We're doing that with Seek the Old Paths. We're doing that with our radio station. We're doing that with those who view on television. We're doing that universally, even via the internet. We're doing that even locally on a number of scales or a number of ways with our home Bible study courses. We already have two, and possibly others, possibly a third or fourth, that have been set up in home Bible studies as a result of those studies that are going out in Bible correspondence course-wise. And you and I, on a continual basis, need to make certain that we are evangelistic-minded as what the church was. We talk oftentimes about restoring the church, and that we are part of the restoration movement. And of course, the religious world wants to identify us and to say that we are Campbellites. Good people, we're not Campbellites. We are Christians. We follow the doctrine of Christ. Did Alexander Campbell and others seek to do that? Absolutely. And that did not make them followers of man, but rather that made them followers of Christ. In like figure, you and I are followers of Christ. And as followers of Christ, you and I need to make certain that we are seeking not only to follow Christ, but to emulate, to follow according to the standards and the examples of the first century church. What do we find in regard to the first century church? In regard to all matters of doctrine, have we truly restored what we find in the church concerning all matters of doctrine? I think for the most part we've done a pretty good job of that, brethren. But there's one area that we need to continue to focus upon that I think that we lack some in. And that is reaching out to the lost world. We need to follow that example to the T. That's what they did. That's what they have presented before us to do every single day of our life, individually as well as collectively. Whenever we follow, whenever we seek to do as the first century church did, not only will we be able to say that we are that first century church in this century, but in like figure we will have the same success as they had. I'm not saying we'll have 3,000 in one day, but we'll be able to gain souls to the Christ. They will be able to have a relationship with our God. And each and every one of us then will be able to have a home in heaven eternally, secured in our love and commitment and faithfulness throughout life. Amen. Today I ask you, are you a part of the Lord's church? Are you a part of that church that was established at Pentecost? Are you a part of that church that seeks to turn inward to grow spiritually? Are you part of that church that's launching out to reach the lost and dying world? If you're here today and you're not, you're part of that group that's lost and dying. It doesn't have to end that way. There's salvation in Jesus. To confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, then you can have a relationship with God. It's what we enjoy today as New Testament Christians. And our God wants nothing more than that, and we want that. To be able to call you friend, to be able to call you our brother or sister, and to help each other as we go throughout the course of life together.